Good evening. Glad to see everyone back here and with us as we worship together this evening. As we've been discussing on Sunday evenings, tonight will make the third week, if I leave the church, and as we've discussed the past couple of weeks, if I leave the Lord's church for a denomination, I reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church. If I leave the church for a denomination, number two, I reject the Bible teaching regarding a pattern for worship. If I leave the Lord's church, number three, for a denomination, then I reject that God's truth can be known, that it can be understood, and can be agreed upon. And friends, last week we also discussed that if I leave the Lord's church for a denomination, I reject the idea that doctrine is important. So as we continue our thought process tonight and we conclude our series, what happens further if I leave the Lord's church for a denomination? Number one this evening, if I leave the Lord's church for a denomination, I reject that the church revealed in the New Testament can be identified. There are many out there today that claim that very thing. That we're not able to identify the church of the first century, the church of the New Testament. Well, friends, I want us to notice some things together tonight and study these things together and realize, and hopefully we all come to the same conclusion, I don't think there's any way around that, that we can identify the church of the New Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I don't know of a better book to turn to if we're going to identify the church of the first century than the book of Acts. Do you? Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. Now here we find Saul of Tarsus. You see there in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. But notice verse 2 together with me. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of, notice this way. What way? The disciples of the Lord, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, friends, we learn of a certain way, that if you found any that were of this way, the King James Version says. Another version says of the way. It is something then specific. Look at Acts 22. Acts chapter 22, verses 4 and 5, and you hear it then from Paul's from his own mouth. And I persecuted this way, you see it? I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, and also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Those that were of this way, or the way. What about verse 19 and 26 of the very same chapter? Those of the way there were also called disciples. Look at verse 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Those that believed on Christ were of this way. Look at verse 26. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman, talking there of Paul, and he was talking to them of those of this way. Here we find Paul talking of the way and them being disciples. In Acts 19, in verse 9, we see that some spoke evil of the way. Acts 19 and verse 9 says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. But friends, think about this. If you go back to Acts chapter 9, how was Paul going to identify those for whom he was looking? They lived a certain way. They talked a certain way. They talked to certain things. He was able to identify them in such a way that there was no doubt that they were disciples of Jesus Christ. Staying in Acts 19 we find that that discussions of the way or this way caused a disturbance. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 23, we read, "In the same time there arose no small stir about that way." So, what is our conclusion then concerning this way? Friends, there is no doubt, and the Scriptures leave no doubt, that this way has to be speaking of the Lord's church. It can be identified. Come with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and look with me at verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle." Now who's speaking here? Who's writing? This is Paul, right? Notice what he says. "I am least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now we read of Saul in Acts chapter 9, he was going after those that were of this way or the way. Here Paul reveals himself that the way represents what? The church. It represents the church. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And look with me at verse 13 to begin. Galatians 1 and verse 13 says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now look, drop down to 22 and 23. "And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith there, notice that, singular, which once he destroyed." Friends, there can be no doubt that the way and the faith is talking about the church. If I leave the church for denomination, I reject that the church revealed in the New Testament can be identified. Number two, if I leave the Lord's church for denomination, then I fail to make the prayer of Jesus for unity a reality. Turn with me to John chapter 17. John 17, beginning in verse 17. One of the most beautiful things about this prayer that has always stuck with me, and that I can always turn to this passage when I'm discouraged, because here, friends, my Lord prays for me. In John 17, beginning in verse 17, we read, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Friends, that's me. That's you. "That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Friend, in Jesus' prayer, he says he desires of us as Christians that we may be one. Now, friends, if it is as some claim, and there are Christians, there are true disciples of Christ scattered throughout denominations in this world, then how in the world does that represent unity in any way? How can we all truly be going to the same place but taking different roads? Friends, it doesn't make any logical sense. You can't take just any road to get to my house, can you? You can't take just any road to get to the church building here at 9th and Main. Why would it make sense then that I can take any road, figuratively speaking, to get to heaven? I have to follow the teachings of Jesus. And when I do that, friends, we will be one in the church that he founded. There is a principle of unity that Jesus talks about here in his prayer. He talks about his truth. Thy word is truth. He's speaking to his Father in heaven. Thy word is truth. The principle then of unity. He then talks about the pattern of unity. As thou art in me, and I in thee. There's the pattern for unity. And then he talks about the purpose of unity. Friends, what is that purpose? That the world may believe. That the world may believe. But if I leave the Lord's church and go to a denomination, friends, I fail to make that prayer of Jesus for unity a reality. Turn with me to Romans 16. Romans 16, and notice with me verse 17. Notice what Paul says here to the Roman brethren. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Paul tells the Roman brethren, mark those that would cause division. Mark those that want no part of unity. Those that cause divisions against the doctrine of Christ. Again, the doctrine, singular. There is but one, and it's the teaching of Jesus. Look at Titus 3. Titus 3, verses 10 and 11. Again, you see the idea presented by Paul the Apostle of unity. Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. We read, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Go to him. If he doesn't change, go to him again. If he continues in that way, he says, reject him. Have nothing whatsoever to do with him, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Notice that he brings that condemnation upon himself. We must reject, friends, those who are divisive. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The entire book of 1 Corinthians is to them concerning their division among them. In chapter 1 and verse 10, he tells them to speak the same thing and be of the same mind. There is to be unity. You can't see that in denominations. As I talked about it, I think it was last week. Went to two different Baptist church buildings on different ends of town while I lived in Alabama. And their articles of faith that they had plastered on the wall, both of them had them plastered on the wall, and their very articles of faith, they both claimed to be the same type of Baptist church. And their very articles of faith contradicted one another. You can't find unity even within the denominational world. It's not there. But friends, Jesus tells us in Luke 8 and verse 11 that the Word of God is the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Now when you plant a seed, doesn't matter what kind of seed that it is, you expect to get the kind of, you expect to get the kind of fruit or the kind of plant that you planted that seed of, right? You plant corn, you expect to have a corn stalk. You plant a watermelon seed, you expect to have a watermelon vine. List goes on and on and on and on. Friends, if we plant the Word of God, what should we get? It should produce after its kind. What are its kind? Paul talked of it. It is the way. What is the way, friends? We get the church. We get the Lord's church. Now with that in mind, if I leave the church or denomination, the bottom line is, friend, is that I forsake the Lord. Number three, you see. If I leave the church or denomination, I forsake the Lord. There's a movement today. We've talked a little bit about it from the pulpit, not a whole lot, but there's a movement today that says, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. That is basically their motto. They are against, in every way, shape, and form, organized religion. They love, as we've said before, they love the man, but not his plan. Friends, the simple fact of the matter is you can't have his plan without the man. You can't separate the two. The church and the Lord are inseparable. You cannot, it is not possible to separate Christ from His church. Let's look at His Word and see that. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad when everywhere preaching the word. What happened then? The church grew. Look at this, verse 5. Here's our key. Then Philip went down. He was scattered. Remember, he had to leave Jerusalem. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? Christ unto them. Now, why would he do that? To establish the church. Those that would obey Christ, those that would obey what Philip preached, were added to what? The church. The church. Look at Acts 9 and verse 4. Now, at the beginning of Acts chapter 9, who was Saul persecuting? Those that were of this way, right? And we've determined already that those that were of this way were of what? The Lord's church. Okay, now look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now question, for any that have ever read Acts chapter 9, who is that talking? That's Jesus, isn't it? Now, was Saul persecuting Jesus? Absolutely. How? Because he was persecuting the church. You cannot separate the two. It is not possible to separate Christ from His church. Paul says as much in Acts 26, 9 through 11. Look what Paul says here. Acts 26, beginning in verse 9. And I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he's going to do these things contrary to the name of Jesus, but what does he do? Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now, he says here that he persecuted the saints, many of the saints. The saints are associated with who? Christ. The saints are what? The church. You cannot separate the two. In Romans 7, 1 through 4, we find that the church, that in the church we are joined to Christ. We're joined to Him. The church is His bride after all, isn't it? Let's think about that for a moment. Any husband in here, if someone comes at your wife, who are they also coming at? Someone comes at my wife, they're coming at me. After all, the Bible teaches we are one flesh. Friends, if I leave the church for a denomination, I forsake the Lord. I forsake His bride. Forsaking His bride, I forsake Him. In Galatians chapter 5, the Galatians had gone after another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. If we leave the church for a denomination, friends, just like the Galatians, we have become estranged from Christ. In Galatians 1, 6 through 9, they were removed from God when they began to pursue another gospel. They were removed from Him. Thus, when I leave the church for a denomination, I forsake the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, Paul tells the Corinthians there that he had betrothed them to one husband. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused or betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Friends, think about what Paul is saying here. There is only one rightful husband. To join oneself to the denomination is to forsake that husband. The word simplicity found here, the simplicity in Christ in verse 3, literally means unified in Him. Another idea behind that word is to be braided together. To be braided together. We are to be braided together with Christ, are we not? To be joined to Him. One last passage I want us to notice together and leave you with these thoughts. Come with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. Jesus speaking here says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Now here's the key to our passage, our purpose of our lesson tonight. He shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Notice the answer of Jesus here in verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you go back to what he said to the righteous, these my brethren, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friends, plain and simple. I forsake the Lord when I forsake His people. I forsake the Lord when I forsake His people. If I leave the Lord's church for a denomination, I forsake the Lord. And as we stated at the beginning of this series, it's my hope and my prayer that we'll be able to use the points of these lessons. If I've had questions within myself, hopefully we've been able to answer some of those. But the greater possibility is that we know someone that maybe has fallen away even at this point, but is considering going to some denomination rather than being restored to the Lord's church. Friends, we need to sit down with them. We need to study with them and hope that they understand, as we study these things with them, that they understand the gravity of that situation. That in forsaking the Lord's church, they reject the Bible teaching that there is only one church. that in leaving the Lord's church for a denomination, they reject the Bible teaching regarding a pattern for worship. That they reject that God's truth can be known, understood, and agreed upon. That they reject that the idea that doctrine is important. That they reject that the church revealed in the New Testament can be identified. That they're failing to make the prayer for unity that Jesus had a reality. And then friends, the bottom line is that if we forsake or we leave the church for a denomination, I forsake the Lord. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song. We're going to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. But we strive to use the Scripture in a proper manner, as we talked about this morning. God gave us His Word for the sole purpose that you and I might be saved. He gave His Word of truth that we can be unified. That we can be one with Him. My friend, it may be that you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the Lord's church. Or you've never obeyed the gospel to be added to His church. Would you do that this evening? You see, His Word of truth tells us what one must do so that He will add us to His church. We must believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That He came to this earth and He bled and died. He died upon the cross for the remission of my sins, for your sins. Friends, would you obey His gospel this morning by believing, or this evening by believing on Jesus? Taking Him at His Word. And so doing, friends, doing as He commanded, as He did in Luke 13 and verse 3, to repent lest we all likewise perish. Turn our back on sin, giving our lives over to Him. Confessing Him before men, as He says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, so that He would confess us before the Father in heaven. Paul says to the Romans, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Would you confess Christ this evening? Would you put Him on in baptism? Mark 16, 15 and 16. He that believeth, as He told them to go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Friend, where do you stand this evening? Do you stand saved because you've obeyed the gospel, or do you stand condemned because you've never been baptized? Would you be His this evening? Friend, if you're here and you've been baptized, you've obeyed the gospel, where do you stand with Jesus even now? If judgment were to happen this very evening, would you be a sheep or a goat, as is given in Matthew 25, which we read just a few moments ago? Would you be on His right hand or would you be on His left? Only you can answer that question right now. Friends, if you would be on the left, don't leave this building tonight without making it.